Egunon, sail ofizialeko loreak filmaren prentzaurrekoa egingo dugu orain.
Good morning, this is Stark of the Photographers, please. And we have with us here today the director John Garaño, José María Goneaga, the producer Javier Gozosa, and the José Ángel Ochoa, Nagore Aramburu, Itziar Ituño, and Itziar Aizpuru. First question, please, if you'd be so kind. Congratulations for the film, because it seemed to me that in this case the Basque cinema is jumping out of what it normally does in its scripts. I'm not saying whether it's better or worse, but it's leaving certain subject matter that it normally deals with. But I would like to ask you, and that's what drew my attention, how you've mixed noir genre film, because there's noir, with cinema, which is enormously romantic. Flowers are always very romantic. Thank you very much. Well, the truth is, we were very interested in mixing those two genres and concepts, that dramatic side and romantic on the other hand as well, and enigmatic and mysterious on the other hand as well. So the story stems from an image, the image of flowers on a road, and that's the feelings that awoke in us when we see those flowers. It's a very clear image, obviously. Then I think that any person who sees flowers on the road all of a sudden starts to imagine things. What could have happened? You always think about it, a drama that lies behind those flowers. But it's also true that it was quite an enigmatic element where, and very strangely, do you see the people that place those flowers there. And so therefore, that makes the imagination of people really take off. And the feeling of those flowers also to drown, shall we say, or inundate the whole film with that tone and colors of the flowers. Hi, good morning. I'm over here. Well, I wanted to congratulate you for this film, which is a marvelous film. The truth was, it's a pleasure this morning to watch it. I think it's a bit subversive that the kindness, the flowers, may bring about the desire of call the police, let's call the police, there's some flowers there. And that was a bit comical, and also I like very much that the object of love and secret desire is a marvelous woman like Nagore, that Nagore played, of a woman that's undergoing or suffering the menopause. Well, the flowers that people give the significance that they want to the flowers. So therefore, in that sense, we always say they're like a canvas without any painting. So you can put your frustrations or your desires on, place them on the flowers. The person that receives the flowers, Nagore, feels very illusioned, but her husband feels those flowers like a threat, and he ends up not going to the police, but to the flower store to ask what's going on and why they don't know who buys them. That's the idea, how we can perceive an element that doesn't have any significance, but we may give it significance, and the flowers, a bunch of flowers, that can bring about a conflict, suspense, or drama. And at the end of it, it's a pretext, really, for us to be able to tell the story again. I think as well, it's what you were saying, that they call the police, and that happens twice in the film. Albeit it's also true, the film has two plots that end up coming together. There are some mysterious flowers, and both there are people who feel illusioned because they see them, and others that perceive those flowers as a threat. In the case of this Anne's story, her husband perceives them as a threat, and in the case of the story of Lourdes and Tere and Beñat, it's Lourdes herself. She calls and she's feeling that memory that she had of her husband, she's feeling it as if it were something threatening, and she realizes that she all of a sudden has to organize things. There was like a mirror, sort of a play between mirrors, what's happened in one plot, but organized in a different way, but with the same elements start to also play their role, shall we say, in the other plot or the other story. Hi, good morning. Good morning, congratulations for the film. It's been a beautiful surprise. And I would like to know why the subtitles, they're only flowers, and congratulations once again. Well, perhaps it would be better if Xavier Berthosa could respond to this. He is the producer, and it was his idea to do that, but it was something that was in the script, and we thought, and we said this before, that at the end of the day, flowers, a bunch of flowers, knowing they have different meanings for different people, and for us, with that phrase, there's something behind it. You say, yes, they're only a bunch of flowers, but what does that mean? That means that they're not only a bunch of flowers, so therefore, and also on the marketing side of things, this could have, we thought that was interesting, but perhaps it's better that Chevy answer. Well, quite briefly, the reason is that above all, to not change the title, and the Contracorriente, the distributor, says, let's not translate it as flowers or another title. And we didn't want to change it. It's Loreac in Basque, and we believe that we want to maintain that personality within Spain and throughout the world if it's distributed, when it's distributed. So therefore, we wanted to play with the name of the title, and it was a way of keeping the original title, and has another meaning. It's linked to the story, which is perhaps much more important than what I've said. Hi, good morning. I would like to ask you how we've worked the three actors and the three women, protagonists, and also ask them, the actresses, what was your experience working with them? Well, to tell you the truth, it's been quite different in the previous film where we did 80 Days, where we rehearsed a lot with the actors with the cast. We didn't have a lot of experience, but Itziar and Maria Sun didn't have too much experience either, and we played a lot of importance upon the acting and the rehearsing with the acting and the cast. And we've learned and we've done the same thing, that when working with actors, the first thing and the most important thing is to grab the script and to adapt it to the way they spoke. And I think that's a very beautiful sort of way of doing things, because we rewrite the script all of a sudden. And then on the other hand, they also get further, they get more into their role that they have to portray. And the three actresses have different experiences, and the work has been different. But what we've done a lot is to talk a lot about each of the characters and who they are, what they're thinking, what they feel, how they also see life, and also how they see the life of those characters. And so that, I think that's helped quite a lot. In the case of the Isías, Aizpuro and Nahore, from the outset, it was quite clear what their characters were. But in the case of Itziar Ituño, it was a bit more doubtful, because we changed the character and we shaped it at this with Itziar. And I think it was very interesting in the end, the contribution of Itziar and also that of Itziar and Nagore. But it's been a bit more complicated in that sense, because with Itziar Ituño, we had a lot of doubts as regards to the age and how she was going to. Perhaps she wants to say something. The process for me has been very interesting. And I think that I had to do three auditions before I was chosen. Imagine, you know, you get very nervous. But, and then we spoke a lot of who was Lourdes, what was Lourdes feeling, and why she did and was doing what she did in the film. And at the end, well, better said, at the beginning it was very difficult for me to understand why Lourdes decides that the vital philosophy of life of the other people went forward, but looking into the past and living off the memories, things that have occurred in the past. Lourdes is a, she prefers to forget everything. She does all the contrary. She prefers to forget the past. She wants to look forward and go on, and she decides to continue ahead. Because, but to forgetting everything of the past, but it's very difficult for me to understand why, vis-a-vis a trauma like takes place at a given moment, from that hard situation, she decides to go ahead. I wouldn't have done that. So therefore, we had to talk about that until we understood why and how. But it was a very interesting process. I've learned quite a lot, a lot. The truth is, with both of you, with the whole team, and I'm very happy with the result. Sometimes I feel a bit, I look a bit strange, see myself a bit strange, but I think that happens to all actors, and I think I'm very happy because I think that the result has been very fine, very elegant, and quite exciting. Hi, good morning. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. What surprises me is that two directors make such a woman sort of like film and to enter into depth into the psychology of women. This to us, do you represent or do you think you are the representatives of a new generation of Spanish men which are much more modern? That on the one hand, and secondly, whether to a certain extent you're linked to the film of Jaime Rosales, the style, the way, and the entity, and how the film was made. And my colleague Maria Guerra asked me whether we can confirm it's the first film in Basque that competes for the Golden Seashell in Spain, in San Sebastian, and what responsibility that may be for you. Well, let's start perhaps by the last for the question. It's the first film that has been made completely in Basque that competes in the official section. In 1989, Kearte Kuagunak participated, Days of Smoke of Antone Dirizar, but that wasn't completely shot in Basque. There were parts that were doubled, that were dubbed. This is the first one that has been completely made in Basque, and I think that's the production of what we're doing. We've been doing for the last 10 years of supporting and backing Basque cinema and cinema in the Basque language in particular. And I'm not too sure what did you ask you? Oh, yes. Well, we were concerned because in the previous film, La Gurea Gureak, in 80 days, it was a relationship between two women, Itziar Aizpuru and Mariosun Paguaga, a lesbian relationship of two elderly women. And they also asked us whether we were women directors and whether it's women's cinema. But the truth is, we're not very aware of all that. At the end of the day, you don't know why, where, or why you end up telling a story about women or men. It's not a question of that may that emerges in a premeditated fashion. It's not premeditated. The last stemmed from an idea that John had, and he developed the first version of the script until we included the rest. In this case, it's vice versa. I did the first idea and the first draft of the script, and then John and Aitor Arregui entered in to help me write the rest of the script. So it originated in a different way, but the coincidence in both cases that we've talked about women in the stories, but we don't realize that we're making any specific effort. I'm under the feeling that we're talking about universal feelings and that perhaps we men and women are not too far away from each other, perhaps, in feelings. I'm not too sure. I don't know whether you want to add anything. No, you represent me. You did a good job. Oh, Rosales, well, I like La Soledad in Rosales, and it is true that there may be a bit of his cinema in our film. It's not something that we talked about explicitly. Perhaps at a given moment we may have done, but yes. But getting outside those characters that you're seeing them from outside the windows and so on and so forth. And I also love how naturally he directs actors and the performances that Jaime Rosales achieves from his actors. If we were here, if we would be thanks to the work that they've carried out, all of the actors, but for us, that would be very, very cool. And in the back, hi, good morning, I think. It's a woman's film because it's better. They play a better role, Itziar Ituño and Nagore, and Itziar Aramburu, etc., etc. But apart from this, but perhaps better in played as an actor, because it's a feelings film, and the men are a bit sour and a bit bitter, and they don't come across too well, and it's a feelings film, and it has a very good Basque background to it, and that's what I most value in the film, the feeling of the Basque person, that very raining and sad at times, and it's very similar to Baroja, and I like the film because of that, because it's well played and performed by the actresses, and the men, and I respect them, don't do such a good job, but they don't have a role that they have to develop too well. I'm very sorry, but that's the way I see it. I'm very sorry, but that's my opinion. Okay. Yes. And above all, it's a film that leaves the idea of political cinema that have overwhelmed us in the press. I'm a journalist. And in life, it talks about the Basques, it talks about their feelings, their climate, and their being and their essence. Thank you. Oh, well, you've alluded to men. Well, no, no, thank you very much. I'm very proud to participate in this story, and I'm very excited to be here with all of you. And thank you very much, because I feel that I've participated completely in the film, so what can I say? And plus, they say to me that I was very feminine in the role I played. I'm not too sure. No, I wanted it in favor of Hoshian and the male actors in the film, that perhaps the script and the approach that we wanted to take doesn't really pay justice to all of them, because we're very happy with the work that they've done. The character of Hoshian is a character that we were very interested to maintain it in a very ambiguous sort of area, very enigmatic, where you really don't know what he's feeling. It served us so that we could play with that enigma or that unknown factor, that is to say, that this guy, he's giving him flowers, bunches of flowers. What did he really feel in his relationship with Lourdes? So in that sort of area, Hoshian was a bit, we weren't giving him a big chance to really express all the potential that he has. And I don't know what else I can say. And this, I'm not too sure whether you've asked, or perhaps the actresses. Okay, that'll do. No, that's a good answer. Okay, sorry. Hi, good morning, Nagore. What happens to you, to Anne's character when all of a sudden she breaks the relationship with Benyat's mother and she stops taking flowers to the place where the accident occurred? What happened there? Well, I think that Anne enters into a field, an area that doesn't correspond to her character. Anne's character is a woman who's going through a very difficult period in her life, but she's very introverted, all her feelings are very inward and doesn't express them externally. She sees something from a balcony, from a window. She sees that everything happens to everyone else, but not to her, but she doesn't do anything to be in the action that takes place outside her window, and she... an illusion awakens in her, and she enters into other stories in other places without being used to it, and she's very clumsy at times. And I think there's a moment in the film that she realizes this, and she abandons it, and that's it, more or less. Hi, first of all, congratulations for the film. And in fact, congratulations to all of you for your performances. My question is Itziar Izpuro and Itziar Ituño, the relationship between the both of you, Lourdes and Tere, how was that? And the essence of the film, one is not dead until you've forgotten about the person who died. And tragically, due to different factors that Tere, that happens to Tere, that happens to her. But you, how do you recover that force, that strength? And how did you carry out that work? Thank you. Well, as we say in the film very well, one doesn't die unless you've still got them in your memory. So therefore, for me, the most important thing was to have the memory of my son, to be able to talk about him as if he were alive. And however, Lourdes is all the contrary. So therefore, it's something I can't accept it. I don't understand it. I believe she didn't believe, love my husband, my son enough to be able to forget about him so quickly. And I think that, and she wasn't my preferred daughter-in-law. No, I had it like all mothers-in-law. She wasn't my favorite, for I wanted another person for my son. So, and of course, yeah, she's so cold, and I want to get a bit closer to her to be able to continue to talk about my son. But she cuts off very quickly, so therefore I can't be very happy with her. What happens is the difference between both of us is Tere wants to remember, and Lourdes, that's where I started from the character. It hurts her very much to remember Benyat, and as her idea is to forget, to be able to go ahead and get on with things, many people do that. They forget, they patch it up, and they go ahead with things and patch up a wound trying to forget that it exists, and then all of a sudden something happens and everything blows up in her face, because if your scars aren't well healed, they'll never get healed. And Tere reminds her of Benyat all the time, and bearing in mind also that the prior relationship wasn't very good, well, because of their character, and because Tere and I, she's much more traditional, and Lourdes is a bit more hippie, I don't know. She's got another point of view on things, and they collide, and they come up front and collide quite often. And Lourdes decides to cut the relationship with Tere after losing Benyat, and so therefore she doesn't understand. And it's not because I was cold or hard, but she just wanted to get away from the pain that produces in her. Yes, that doesn't mean that she didn't love her husband. That's true. I love my husband very much. But of course, Tere doesn't understand that she doesn't want to talk to her. And apart from this, that I don't like her very much, she's not my favorite daughter-in-law. Yes, but when you see that she forgets, yes, that's where everything breaks down. My entire strategy in my own castle of forgetting, and something breaks. Albeit, having said that, up till the last moment of the film, she's still trying to use her strategy of forgetting. And then all of a sudden, there's no other choice than to accepting, no, you've got to remember Benyat. That's the way it is. Life places that in front of you, and you've got to do it. Thank you. Yes, a question for John and Jose Mari. Two questions. First of all, why are you so determined in shooting in the Basque language, or being, you know, how it complicates things at a distribution level? And then as regards to another question that was asked earlier on that you haven't answered, the deep Basque character that the film has, that, you know, I think as being a local, that's why it makes it much more universal, because that horrible mother and that very harsh daughter can only be Basque. That's not true, says one of the actresses. Well, about the Basque, it comes from the previous film. The previous film, La Rea Gorenar, in 80 days, we wanted to do it bilingually, and we've struggled to make it bilingually because our reality is bilingual, and we wanted the film to be like that, and we thought it was interesting we could see this on the screen, the reality that we live, but due to production issues, we couldn't do it that way, so therefore we decided to do it in Basque. And the truth is, Loreac, this film, what came along... like Kenosha, for example. And we saw the script appeared in Basque, and obviously we're not going to make a lot in the box office, but it was... The previous film was in 100 festivals, and it was distributed in other countries. I said, well, it didn't go too bad with the previous film, so therefore, without thinking about it, we made this film in the Basque language. It's something that we... This doesn't mean that all of our films that we're going to make them in the Basque language. If any Spanish or English or French film, I think we'll make it, depending all upon the film that or the subject matter dealt with, that we're going to we'll deal in the film. It makes difficult for distribution in Spain, but not so much internationally, because if finally you go to international film festivals, and I'm sure you've got the Latin market, it's going to be a bit more difficult, but it's also true in the South American market. Spanish films, it's not easy for Spanish films either, but we're under the feeling that in the international market, you're not really losing too much, you're losing part, but you also gain other things at a financing level. And above all, it emerged in the script, naturally in the script, we're already thinking about Itziaray Spuru as Tere, to play Tere, and Itziaray Spuru, we can't imagine her in another language, and it was... And the other question, and also, you're talking about the Basque character. It's important to make films in the Basque language, and this is being done, better and better films. And if we can do them, I think that's a good idea. I think it's great that films be made in the Basque language. So therefore, we're very happy to contribute to Basque cinema. And as regards to the Basque character, it is true that we're not very aware of this, but at the same time, we like to listen to what you've just said, because what's better to reflect that what you've got in your backyard at home? We like that, the fact that in the films that we make, that we want them to be universal, but trying to portray what you have just around that corner in your own home. This film, as well as in the previous film, something that we've not mentioned very much is that of the lack of communication and communication. Communication is quite present. I'm not too sure whether that's too Basque, because when we premiered the previous film and then we went to Carlo Vivari, they said it was very Czechian. It is true that of the lack of incommunication, I think that's quite present, and it's very plastically shown in where people work. Workplaces of Itziar in a toll booth, and Hoshian in the cabin of the crane, and they're characters that are very isolated from their environment. Even the way in which they are portrayed by the camera, they're always focused upon. It seems that what's surrounding them is making a noise around them, but they're practically outside of what's going on around them. And then in communication, as well as in the flowers, for example, that are used to express things that they themselves are unable to express in words. I'm not too sure whether that's very Basque or not.
Buenos días.
Hi, good morning. A big impact was the scenes with the sheep when the accident occurs, and the sheep comes running towards the camera. And then the other scene when Lourdes and Anna are in the car, and they run over a sheep, and the sheep reacts and gets on their feet. It made me think that sheep was the soul of the character. I forget. Beñat, yes, that was the name of the character. And the other question, or the other remark, is the scenes that impacted me. How did you were able to do that with the cadavers in the cold room? And thirdly, I'd like this film to be a Mar del Plata film festival. That's my desire. Well, thank you. As regards to the sheep, this is incredible, but it's true. When we were shooting the film, obviously the sheep were in the script, but not only in those two most important moments in the film, but as you say quite well, the sheep Well, everyone can interpret this whichever way they want, but it's better that I don't say anything here. But I don't explain it to you. But it's, we thought it was very interesting to play with that. But the sheep were there only in those two moments, albeit they behaved very well, and they appeared all, constantly when we were working, and even important moments when they don't appear, you can hear the sheep. And we said that sometimes they were asking us to they said the sheep, was, it was like a signal that they wanted to appear in the film. Yes. And even in the takes in the mountain, on the mountainside, the sheep that were there, and that wasn't prepared. And sometimes you've got to pay attention to what happens around you. And obviously, one of the most exciting things when we shot that, because it was, well, they want to be here, well, let's allow them to participate in the film. Why not, the sheep? As regards to the cool room where the cadavers are, it's quite a curious place. It's the University of the Basque Country in Leioa, in the medicine faculty. At a production level, it wasn't too clear. We didn't know whether they were going to allow us to shoot the film there, but they were very kind, and they explained the entire process in detail, how they do absolutely everything. And we thought it was very interesting to show, above all, the process of how your body deteriorates and, so, and what it means as time goes by and so on and so forth. So therefore, we took advantage of the location that existed. We practically didn't touch anything. Obviously, we had to clear up. Hoshian wasn't dead. Obviously, it was a dummy, but all of the rest was the same. Those details, but that was true. That was an on location, actually. Hi. And to start off with, congratulations for the film, and a question. The dilemma is to use the Basque language, Batua Basque, or the other Basque, or to use Biscayno Basque, which are different versions of the Basque language. Was that in the script? Did you address that initially? Or what criterion have you used? And also, are you aware that everywhere in the world, it's the first time that Basque is going to be used in the official section. Are you aware of that burden or not? Well, albeit it's a burden, it's a positive burden, no? That doesn't make us we're not too frightened about that. What about the dialects in the Basque language? We wanted to be coherent in our family, in our film. The members of the same family should speak a very similar dialect, and we have tried to do it in a very logical way. But Tere and Binyat, of course, should have to use a similar dialect, and therefore we used the Gipuzkoan dialect. But we had questions that was about, with Nagore, what we were going to do, because Nagore could speak like people do in Azpeitia, because she's from there. But we decided to do a bit of a mixture, which is what she asked us. And in the case of Itziar, as she's from Biscaya, well, for us it was an opportunity, and that gives a lot of richness to the language side thing of things in the film. Then that's the dilemma: to speak in Batua, the unified Basque language, or in the dialect. And we thought that this perhaps wasn't completely correct, but there are not too many people that could speak in Batua in a natural way. Some people do speak it very well, but there's not so many. And so therefore, to give credibility, we also worked with this. And if we're lucky, we've got the opportunity to show different dialects, I think all the better, and that we've been quite fortunate in this case. But these are dialects, but they're not. It's not so complicated. I think that you can understand absolutely everything, all of the dialogues in the films. And I think that the actors, it's important for the actors also to feel comfortable. To get into a character is already difficult per se, but if you have to speak, if they speak that how they normally speak, well, that's much easier to do. But in that process, because at the beginning, the script is written in Batua, but we spoke to them and we said, dialogue per dialogue, we went over, so how would you say this and how would you say that in your dialect? And in that process as well, we went further in depth as regards to the the characters in each moment, and in what sequence, why are you feeling this way, why do they feel this way. And we analyzed all of this, and it helped us very much for both of those things. And for us, it's much easier to speak how we normally speak, because sometimes this strange word, what does it mean? And so on and so forth. And Jose Maria, he's right. He says, well, Itzia, how would you say this? So, well, I would say it this way. Well, I would like what you say it in that way. And for us, it's much easier as well, because it's much closer to your heart and to your day-to-day reality, the way the one speaks on a day-to-day basis. And the way of working, just as they've explained it, it's based upon the credibility of the work. They work not only with the language, but also with feelings. It gets closer to the actors, and it gets the actor to be able to portray his role better. And so forth. Feelings and language are two things that come closer together when adapting the script. We've also improvised, and we've talked a lot how we change things and to what extent we change things. They give a lot of importance to these small stories. I, as an actress, I was afraid that how all of that was going to be shown on the screen. But I think you can very clearly see in all the work that we've done on the screen, and they placed a lot of confidence and trust in us. They worked so that we could undertake this into our roles, and to talk about women and the language. And so they have come closer to us, the characters. But the way we worked, which brings along a lot of trust that they've provided in us, and allowing, they've allowed the actors to work quite a lot in their roles. Yesterday, a group of journalists were talking about the ending, from who he had received the flowers. There was a very important, significant discussion there. So I imagine that you're not going to respond. And Afraid by WhatsApp said, ask them why it's easier or much truer that the man who works in the crane sends her the flowers when he has practically no relationship with her, and that it's a husband. I think you managed it very interestingly, and I think that's very beautiful Pascal Gagné soundtrack. And I think, the music, I think that's half the film. I think it's fantastic as well. Well, as regards to who gives the flowers, the bunches of flowers, it's quite curious, because the first version in the script that I saw, it was quite clear that I was, the feeling that I had, I was in a field which was very ambiguous. We didn't know who gave the bunches of flowers. And then I talked to him, read the script, and John said quite clearly there was no doubt that it had to be Benyat who was giving her the flowers. And I said, give it to Aitor. And Aitor says, it's also quite ambiguous. It was that it wasn't too clear. What was clear, nevertheless, we didn't want, and this might sound like almost a judgment film, but there was no conclusive proof. That is, it all seems that it could have been Benyat because of what you might deduct. But there's always something you say, well, okay, but no, we've not found any of proof or evidence or that can testify to this quite clearly. And that's where we wanted to go, because for us, it's much more important than knowing who hands over those bunches of flowers. What's more important is what those flowers provoke, and it awakens in each of the different characters. About Pascal, we've been working together for 14 years, more or less. We've practically done our shorts and our documentaries in our previous film, so therefore we know each other quite well. But this time we've worked differently. For the first time, we've edited the film with musical references. We showed him the film, but he saw the film with the music that we had chosen in the editing room, but we didn't give him the music. And then he got some references there, but he's been very free. It's a way of working which I think is much more intensive because we've discussed it more in depth. And we've had a bit of a fight there, really, between, but we're very happy with the result. And I think we're going to repeat this way. We've worked with Pascal. We've been working since we started with our first short films, practically since the beginning, working with him. So, yes, there's a lot of trust between us. Hi. I have the following questions. A doubt I have. The moment in which the project starts, when you start to shoot the film, when you start to shoot the film and finish the film, to what extent does the script change, the story change? I say this especially because when you presented the film, the approach, what appears at the end, the approach was different. It was another synopsis that you sent to us, in we journalists, and I would like to know a bit more about that. Well, yes, you're talking about the historical memory. We can't hear the question now. What effect does the death of a man have in these three women? But then, she starts to receive flowers and so on and so forth. Okay, the truth is, it's divided. There are two parts to the film. The first part of the film is in one way, and then the other's in the other way. First of all, in the first part, there's a group of protagonists, but Nagore is the woman who takes the leading role. And then Itziar starts to become more important, albeit the others are also play their role. But in the first part of the film, what I'm trying to say, it's based upon a cause-effect approach in a classical way of doing things. But not much has been changed. But in the beginning, completely, that we believe it's like a puzzle. There are different elements, and those different elements can be moved around like in a puzzle. And so therefore it is true that in the script the film started with Itziar and the story of Itziar and Josean, but then after going over things we decided to change the order of the different parts of the film. First of all we wanted to tell the story chronologically, but we ended up I'm making it the way you've seen on the screen. It's been a very beautiful experience because we've edited it like a documentary. At the beginning, you're a bit limited in the editing room. You do what's on the script. You put it on the screen in the editing room. But in this case, it gave us the possibility of playing around, and we took a full advantage of using that possibility. I have a question. 4 years ago, you meet Largo Egunian in 80 days, and you've not stopped since then. It's complicated to make a film and to achieve financing or funding for the film, but we've got to ask ourselves, what's going to be your next project? Are you going to start from scratch, or are you already halfway through your next project? If you can say anything, and congratulations too, by the way. Well, at present, we've got several projects on the table, but we will have to see whether they come to fruition or not. One's will is one's will, and then reality comes into play, we don't know. But the project, the hot project that we've got in our hands at present, is a story about the giant of Alzo, in this case, José Mari, is in the production work now, and we were directed between Aitor Arregui and I. And the financing, we've achieved part of it, but we lack another important part of finance. The finance, we don't know. We hope that it'll come to fruition. And once again, it'll be a film with Moriarty and Ilusión. We like this cooperation. They carry out production work, and they take away headaches for us, and we just contribute with the creative side of things. and we would like things to work like that. But if it's another film, seeing the way things are at present, we'd be very happy. We'll see what happens. Well, if it's white and in a bottle, it must be milk. The question about the story of Benyat and the flowers, because that could bring along another film in itself, because the woman throws the flowers away, he's got a garden, and so therefore she could send flowers, and then the medal that's hanging up says, why is Benyat in love or sends flowers to this character? I'm not too sure whether that'd be another story or if you wanted to leave it completely hidden. Secondly, I think that the film in Spain, if it's produced by Spanish TV and you receive subsidies from the ministry, could it be dubbed, or you don't want it to be dubbed? No, the film, in fact, is already dubbed, and I think despite many people. And thirdly, it's fantastic portrayal of all the actors, and even by Jose, just in case. Thank you. And Itziar, I would give her the Goya for her performance. Which of the two? The mother, the one that plays the mother, to the queen mother, someone said. And the other actress as well. The only person who knows whether Benyat gives her the flowers is Benyat himself. And Benyat's dead, so we don't know. I'm not going to tell you because why he can sell flowers. I would sell her a set of flowers every day, you know that. But nobody sends flowers to me. Oh, geez, I'm in trouble now, aren't I? It's like a marriage discussion. Okay, any further questions? No? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.